Hello, welcome to another glorious edition of Gamers with Coffee on our commute. It is a rainy day. My voice is really bad, so I'm sorry. So Clint will probably do a lot of the talking today.
Yep. This is the Greg's Losing His Voice edition.
Oh, it's a special edition.
It's a special edition. They're all so special.
If it squeaks or pops, I'm sorry. It's not sound effects. It's just, I guess I could blame it on the weather, possibly.
You could, yeah. That might have something to do with it.
Of course, we are lucky in that regards. It's not snowing. And
this is true.
So what would you want to talk about there today, sir?
First, I should probably mention, if you tuned into our previous podcast, plug for our other podcast.
Anyway, yeah.
The garbly noise, my apologies. We have learned as we go that sometimes doing certain things in the car, yes, that was not meant to be dirty. Doing certain things with the car, that again was not meant to be dirty.
Clint,
have effects on these new mics because the new mics apparently are a lot more sensitive than the old ones were. So I had the back windows crack just a little bit just for airflow, and it apparently was just enough for the mics to really pick it up and get kind of crazy. So what have we learned? Not to put the windows down while doing a podcast.
Yeah, so we apologize about that. That was our previous podcast. We were like, what? And we didn't notice it till after it was uploaded. So,
yeah.
On the other hand, we are in a car while we do the commute. Again, we're not doing the commute based in some room or something. We're out and about on the road. So, for that, at least we're authentic, right?
That's true.
We're not making that up. So.
We have some time to do this one, so we're going to just kind of cruise for a bit and go with that. Let's see, gaming news. Nothing updated for Aries yet, although still coming. Probably still going to be the same time frame. Liking that there is a renewed interest in Wings of Glory. So if you've not checked out Wings of Glory, please do. Just type in Wings of Glory or Wings of War. It's the old version. Surf eBay for Old Planes. Surf Facebook for their page. There's a good selling page for Wings of Glory. Flames of War, or not Flames of War, sorry. I get those two mixed up sometimes, which I shouldn't, but they're all historical games, so it makes sense. There is a good Facebook page for buying and selling old planes, people selling off large lots who are getting out of it. A lot of the old Wings of War stuff is still available on eBay. In some cases, like Miniature Market, a few of the local gaming companies will have those, Facebook especially. You know what? Let's talk about Facebook for a second because, you know, we've got a lot going on our page. More updates with our games. More updates on games. I've been trying to post, you know, main web page and overviews and here's this and that. Facebook has a lot of good groups for buying and selling. The War Machine group is a really good group. Got a ridiculous deal for D on a starter box, a $100 starter box for $45. Yeah, the guy opened it. So what? Nothing was out of its package. Nothing was started.
You can't beat that. That's a huge savings.
You know, I'm seeing a lot of the bigger miniatures for 60% list price, maybe even 80% less list price. I mean, it's just ridiculous what some of the stuff will go for.
That's true. And some of it, I think, is people get something and then they realize they need other people to game with, too. And some of them may not have. That's why we've maybe mentioned certain games more than other, like the Fallout miniature one. That one has built-in AI. So if you're just one person and you're not next to a group or no one in your family or your friends plays, you can still literally play against yourself. So I think sometimes people get this. Maybe they buy something and they're not quite sure about it. So when I'm getting that, what Clint said is there's some good deals out there.
New school train of thought, I guess you could say. Because I see that, you know, obviously Games Workshop is starting to do solo stuff for some of their games, too. Sorry, solo play on 40K is a little daunting.
Daunting.
It is a good way to test out certain miniatures.
Well, I see where it would be good this way, too. Let's say you are a person who plays these games all the time with your friends. The nice thing about a solo play is one night you're sitting there with your coffee and maybe the family's out at a party, birthday party, or whatever. You've got the house to yourself. You could actually work out some strategies without having to try to do it in-game, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can, that's where I think it would be helpful too, is you get what I'm saying. You could just play against yourself to check out some ideas you had.
Yeah.
And maybe fine-tune those ideas before you go to your friend's house and just destroy them with it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but that, I think that's a wave that's starting with the other companies too, and I think it's a good thing. Not everybody needs it, but there is a large chunk of people that do need it. And so that's why I say, especially you guys, get your significant other into the gaming. I got my wife into it. The only downside is money. It is going to cost you more.
Yeah.
The upside is the person you're with enjoys the same thing. You know, so just whoever you're with, if you get them in it, then, you know, it makes it more enjoyable too.
I really wish my wife was more into miniatures. Not saying my wife's not into gaming, just saying she's not into miniatures.
She more likes the role-playing.
She likes the role-playing stuff.
But she might, though, because some of the newer role-playing things, like the one I told you about, that monthly deal thing, they do come with miniatures now, I noticed. So they're taking, like, Dungeons & Dragons and Pathfinder, and then they're putting some life into it at a different angle as well. Not that there's no life. Let me rephrase that. Just a different crowd. Because not everybody can go off of just whatever they're thinking about. You know what I mean,
no,
right?
I know what you're saying.
So some people, the visuals on the coffee table or kitchen table or wherever they're at is going to help move that game along. Kind of like you guys have maps, right?
Yeah, we maps.
Yeah, and I know Clint here is really good. He does custom Dungeons & Dragons maps, I know. So I would, you know, if you got the maps like that and you had the miniatures, it's just more visual flair.
Yeah. And that's even just using the dry erase mats that you can draw on. You get a grid, you draw out your lines, your at least your basic, these are the walls, these are the canyon walls, there's a river here, whatever, trees, whatever. That's what we use a lot for the role-playing game stuff, is I'll do up these maps, mostly on graph paper in a smaller format, just because it's something you can do in between calls or whatever. You get an idea, at least the players have a visual reference of what you're trying to say. And when they're doing combat, like my wife likes to be sneaky with her D&D character, because that's what it's based around, it's good to know where she can sneak past things and get close enough. And
yeah.
I do freeform it a lot, too, but sometimes the map in my head does not match what the other players imagine I'm saying, so that's where the physical representation is kind of nice.
That's where I think that's a good point you just made right there, as people can see. Actually, you picked up one from Gale Force 9.
Yeah, it's one of Gale Force 9. Okay. I actually got that one from Noble Knight Games. Ooh, water's choppy over there.
Yeah.
So.
And
but
what I was going to get at is you can, well, I don't use those all the time, but the one you were showing me showed little breakdowns of little areas. So you pretty detailed. You can really make a big story arc with those maps, because there's tons of places to explore. And then people have an idea, this is where we're at in this area or this land. And by the way, you said in between calls, you don't let work know that you're sneaking imagination in.
Because I'm good at hiding it.
Yeah, because imagination, they checked me at the door the other day for that. And I'm like, nope. I left it in the car.
That's
with common sense and logic.
I hide it behind sarcasm.
Oh.
Just assume that it's not with me because I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, okay.
And then it's like, surprise!
Surprise. What'd you draw in there on your desk? Nothing, just little squares. Why are those squares have names? I don't know. You know.
Something different.
Gremlins.
Blame gremlins. Always blame gremlins.
Always blame gremlins.
That's the key thing in life. Just blame gremlins.
You
know.
That would work. Yeah. Sure.
Pretty much. So the map you were referring to, just to clarify for everyone, is the really nice vinyl Waterdeep map for D&D 5th edition. It's the map of the entire city, done in it's like 20-inch by 40-inch vinyl. Really high quality, and for $20 that I paid for it, I think it was almost 20 with shipping.
It looked very well.
It was ridiculously good, and it broke down the city by its sectors, or whatever you want to call it, so you kind of know what was where, including the harbor. So that was really cool. Hello, Mr. Highway Patrolman, not paying attention to cars going by you.
He didn't see you, Clint, because all he thought he saw was a streak of light.
Yeah.
He just passed it off as maybe he saw something, a flash.
Uh-huh.
So.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Not the 2 at every speed, sir.
So, actually, I'm not even doing the speed limit at the moment.
Mostly, yeah, I know. Actually, you're driving normal today. Are you all right? Or
no, there's cars in front of us, and this is a two-lane highway.
Oh, and you don't have the plow on the front of the car.
Yeah, you know, this car doesn't have the ram plate.
See, Clint won't. I told him strap a shopping cart to the front of the car because...
You just want for extra cargo capacity.
You know, and throw some groceries in the front. Can you imagine driving down the street like that? People be like, what? And just say, hey, just go along with this storyline and just spit a story out for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, maybe not.
I saw the cart, not the old lady. Sorry. She's back there somewhere. She probably tucked and rolled.
That's where it would be cool is if you could get someone to sit on the trunk. The cart's in the front, and they're sitting on the trunk reading a book. I mean, of course, we don't recommend anyone doing this.
Yeah, no.
But just in your mind.
Do not try this at home.
You can see that going on.
Ooh, oh. What do we have here? Is that a Thunderbird or is that an LTD? Oh, that's a nice LTD.
Some of these areas
it's $3,500 nice, but it's nice.
Well, yeah. You never know what you find out on these old roads, too. Yeah, well, this one's in between two towns.
We're actually not on the interstate today, but now is the proper time since we're doing something for everyone to bother me by messaging my phone.
Oh, is that your phone?
That's my phone constantly receiving text messages because no one will leave me alone. Because I'm doing something. If I'm not doing anything, no one's going to call me or bother me.
Yeah, that's true.
As soon as I'm doing something important or, you know, like recording a podcast, everybody has to get a hold of me. It's probably just my daughter sending me messages.
Uh-oh, Clint's daughter. He's doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
They sense it.
Oh, did your mom listen to our podcast the other
day? I don't know. I haven't talked to her.
You should tell her. That way she can hear me. Thank her for the rhubarb jam.
In garbly speak.
Yeah. Well, we didn't realize the windows
being
cracked would do that. So we learned. And apologies again on that. This one shouldn't have any of that.
No, this one shouldn't be bad. I even got the vents down low just enough to keep the windshield clear. Because it is 40 degrees and rainy and slightly foggy and... Well, not foggy, but the windows will fog up.
Well, the windows
easy.
Will.
So, and we're not spewing a lot of hot air at the moment, so.
Well, now, speaking of windows driving in rain, other games such as, like, video games, do you ever play anything like any of the racing games, Forza?
Once in a while. I don't do Forza, but I did do some of them.
Just occasionally?
Yeah.
I can't remember the one.
I think it's hard on
your wife. Yeah. She had one where you could stop and there were like casinos in it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not talking about Grand Theft Auto.
Whoa. That wind just pushed us hard.
Yep. So if you hear two grown men screaming, it's because the wind's pushing the car around.
Yeah, we just got shoved to the right, probably 2 foot. Just a little wind gust. It's supposed to be 40 to 50 mile an hour winds out here.
So up to 70 mile an hour gusts.
Yeah, up to. Okay. I haven't seen the latest forecast, but I believe that at this point.
Well, that storm's getting apparently choppier as it goes, worse as it goes, so we'll see. A lot's going to depend on where you're at, and there's more. Well,
wow, that drops fast. Or the speed limit went from 55 to 35, like almost instantly.
Yeah. There you go.
Without really any notice other than this blinky sign that says 35! I'm like, the heck?
Seeing in the games, if you're playing those, you just drive through them.
Yeah, well, you're like Burnout Paradise City. You don't even stop for the lights.
You don't stop for the lights?
No, because what's the point? Well, usually I'm going too fast to even stop for the lights.
Well, you're right. I mean, you can do things in the games you just can't do.
The only reason you stop at the light to do a burnout is so you can launch some event that I usually don't like doing other than the takedown events. I like those.
Well, how's that game set up then? I'm not...
So it's...
I mean, I've heard of it, but I just haven't played it.
Okay, so take the human element out of GTA.
Okay.
So you don't have a person. You just have the cars driving around. Add your gas station, your paint shops, your salvage yard where you change your cars, and you just drive around the city. Then in each, almost every intersection, if you stop at the intersection, you can launch into a timed race event, a distant event or a takedown event, you just kind of do a burnout. So you hit the brake and hit the gas and the car does a burnout and it starts the event. Now, the takedown events I like because you're just basically running through the city streets trying to take down the tag cars. And when you get good at it, you can do it pretty effectively and it's a lot of fun, especially if you have the right music.
all that.
The timed events, I don't care as much. I don't know the city well enough to drive point A to point B through all the traffic in the amount of time. Even though it kind of gives you an arrow you're supposed to follow, you still got to do it fast, and then you're dealing with traffic, and then you've got the takedown cars. The Mark Man events are kind of interesting because there's these little black sedans that try to run you off the road, and so it's like the burnout events, but you have specific target cars that are trying to take you out, so they will literally come out of a side street and plow into you.
Oh,
and if
wow.
they take you down, you're done. There's no... if you're lucky enough that you've taken a lot of damage and you roll across like a repair shop or a body shop, you can fix and keep going. And sometimes that's how I've won those events, by repairing the car and continuing on. The ones I just don't like are the timed events and some of the special events where you got to have a special unlocked car to do the event. And that's usually a timed event. And in every now and then, you do so many events, it unlocks a special car, and you have to chase it down and take it out to unlock it for your game. So I've got a few cars. Now, granted, Paradise City is old because it was a 360 game. They have since re-released it for
like
Xbox One.
Yeah.
Well, no, they actually did an Xbox One component version of it, but I didn't buy it. There was no
version.
Point. Yeah, it's like they're doing the Sniper Elite stuff. They're re-releasing it for Xbox One because there's just that much of a fan following. But admittedly, with the Sniper Elite stuff, at least they're adding new content. Burnout was pretty much just, well, we've remastered for the Xbox One. Now you don't need the 360. Here, spend more money.
Well, that's why, too, is money motivates it. But it's like Spyro. You guys remember Spyro the Dragon? That was huge. So my daughter got that for the Xbox One. Actually, I have... put the $5 down on it to hold it, and that's already been released, you know, a couple months back. I forgot the other day I had that reserved at the game store, so I at some point I have to go down and pick it up. But they did the same thing with Crash Bandicoot and some of the other games from the past. They've actually made newer versions, and that Spyro version's pretty nice. I mean, it's what the game graphically, it's just cleaner.
Yeah.
Although when it came out, I was pretty impressed with it all those years ago then, but... But yeah, those some of those are re-released completely, not just backward compatible, but completely redone. So
I mean, I'm not as big on, I don't have to have cutting edge graphics, so it doesn't matter to me. I like playing the game.
It has to be fun.
Yeah, when you're driving a car, you're not noticing the background much anyway, or the scenery around you. You're looking for objects coming at you.
Well, yeah, they put a lot of this. Look at this, you can see the sunlight reflecting off the paint.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool if you're just going to sit and stare at the car.
Yeah.
But if the gameplay is no good, you know, your driving physics are junk, then it doesn't matter how nice the car or the graphics look.
Yeah.
You've got to have a game. So driving games, to me, I don't know. That's not really my thing. I mean, I like them, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm more concerned with... Is this easy to drive this car? Is it, you know, I'm not saying to not have a challenge, but not be so crazy sloppy on this maneuvering that you don't want to drive it. So.
And not to knock Forza or anything, because it's a pretty amazing game, but after a while I get tired of just driving around a racetrack. I just kind of don't care after a bit.
Well, that's how I am with racing games. I'm not saying I don't like them. I just, it doesn't hold my attention for a long period of time, so... I don't knock them at all.
My first-person shooters, for me, they have to be story-driven. I don't play a first-person shooter just to run around and shoot other people who are playing. I just, that's not my thing. I don't do multiplayer.
Well, Halo had an amazing story,
it did.
And that's what's carried it for all these years. And I see, like, Battlefield, you either love or hate the game.
Yeah.
I like the game for... the historical accuracy, the weapons are accurate, the buttons on the uniforms are accurate. It is accurate what they use. There is no, you know, your guys aren't running on walls tubing people.
Yeah.
Because they didn't do that, you know, back then in those wars. So, and I noticed the futuristic stuff, like the Call of Duty stuff. Boy, I grew up, I was already an adult, but I mean, I gamed a lot of that.
Yeah.
But anymore, it's like, they've got to get that, to me, back to where it is a realistic, more realistic of a boots on the ground kind of a game. Not this crazy stuff that's, you know, it doesn't fit it with the way they started. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. And that's why I really enjoyed Sniper Elite. Because as you, each version of the game moved along within the war. So you moved. So Sniper Elite version 2, you were somewhere in Europe. I want to say it was France, but it might not have been. Sniper Elite 3, you were in Northern Africa during the Northern Africa campaign. Sniper Elite 4, you're in Italy during the Italy campaigns. And you're just doing these cute, these little side missions that didn't technically exist in World War II, but could have existed in World War II.
Yeah. And then there's some people who aren't familiar with the timeline of war to begin with. I believe we worked with a guy, we're not going to mention his name. Clinton had the conversation, kind of filled him in on his, remember the World War II?
Yeah.
He thought it happened in the 60s.
Yeah, the 68 whatever that he was picking up. You know that World War II car? I wonder why this guy is limping along the highway. I wonder if he threw a tire somewhere.
No. He's having issues.
He's having issues, that's for sure. Full tractor trailer with his hazards on, running halfway down the shoulder and halfway on the lane. I think he's about ready to have to pull over at some point. But yeah.
Yeah, he actually thought World War II happened in the late 60s. So.
Yeah.
It was comical, but kind of sad.
Yeah.
At the same time, you're like, what? You know, I mean, I understand not knowing the exact dates,
decades would be good.
Decades off is a little bad.
I mean, like 20 decades off, or 2 decades off, sorry.
Well, you're thinking, 20, yeah, oh, well, yeah. It'd be like almost 3. Cause
almost 3 decades off.
But I think you forgot about the other wars, you know, the Korean War.
Yeah.
Vietnam War.
Which was...
That started...
By 67. 67, you were entering Vietnam at that point.
So he's talking about... Yeah. Anyways, so... I guess it depends on how you look at the games. I kind of look at them. They've got to be fun and playable. And just enjoyable. I don't care how shiny it is. If it's no fun to play, it doesn't matter. To me.
Yeah. And if I'm going to play a historical game, I want it to be historical. I don't know. I guess the zombie aspect to some is cool.
Well, the zombie aspect, they sold it as, when it first came out, they had all this fight for them to do it, and a couple of programmers wanted to. It was just a little sideline thing. And then it exploded because it became extremely popular.
Yeah.
But the zombies go back to, actually, in World War II, they were working on trying to reanimate the dead to continue to use them in the war.
Yeah.
So it's based off, and a lot of people don't realize, they actually were trying to do if you read history, right? So they were trying to bring people back from the dead. They were doing a lot of experiments on that. And so that's where that came from. So it's a little sci-fi and a little mixture of what they were working on. But if you sell the whole game as this is a World War II game, okay, here's the zombies, these are extra if you want to play, I'm okay with that. But if the main core of the game is now not got real World War II era weapons or, you know, vehicles, or even the things they did, you can't just, oh, look, you know, there's an alien ship or, you know what I mean? It has to be able to, I don't know, if you're going to sell it as this, then sell it as that. If you're going to sell it as fantasy World War II, well, then you can put anything you want in it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Dust Tactics. Dust Tactics is fantasy, sci-fi fantasy World War II. It doesn't hide the fact that that's what it is.
It proclaims that up front.
So I'm
this
okay with that.
This is an alternate version of World War II, alternate history, make-believe, you know.
Yep.
So I think some of these video games, their franchise, they're so focused on the money that they're thinking that gamers have to have them. Gamers don't have to because there's always other games to play.
Yeah.
So you've got some major franchises that people keep buying, hoping they'll get better. But every year it's less and less people buying the new release. And they're wondering why. It's because the gamers are like, well, you're never holding up to what you're saying. You're just throwing this out.
It's ridiculous.
Well, now your price points on them are getting to be too much. Yep.
Well, and now I'm thinking back to Fallout 76 as you're saying that, because it's like, that's a game that gamers didn't really want. I mean, there are going to be some that always want something like that and think it's cool, and that's great. that's not a game that a lot of the Fallout fans wanted. They did not want an open-world MMO Fallout, especially one as restricted as Bethesda's made it, or as stupid as they've made things. I mean, all I see are these people unhappy. This person wants their refund. This is this. You know, when you're paying $70 for the game and you can't even really play it, or you're not going to get anywhere with it. Now, I've not played it, nor will I ever play it. Not saying that Bethesda sucks, the game is terrible. Just saying, the format it plays in, I have no desire to play it. End of story. I don't want an open world. I don't want a bunch of people playing with me. I want to just play Fallout like I've always played Fallout. End of story. That's what I want.
Well, I think they tried to do it so that friends could work together with friends and in a Fallout world, and I kind of get that. I don't own the game either. I didn't play it. I've seen a lot of people complaining. However, I've seen a lot of press releases lately where they are now, but it's their fault. They released that in that junky format. So now they are literally bending over trying to update this and update that and change this. But see, to me, you should have done that before you released it. Yeah. You should have. I'm not saying you're going to get all the glitches. You can't. You're not going to find all of it. You can't. Even in the test phase, but at least, you know, I don't know, you got core fans with everything, and so they kind of, they were trying to appeal to a different group, which I get, you got to broaden it, I get it, but then you don't want to sacrifice your core.
Yeah, and it's going to hurt them when they release, like, a Fallout 5, when they want to go back to that old format. It's going to hurt that, because people are going to be skeptical, and they're going to be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But then you look at, like, New Vegas, which has been out for, what, 10, 12 years now? And now, because they're allowing mods, people are creating their own story arcs with it. You could now have a DLC for it that you can continue the storyline, which I'm all for that. I'm down with that. I love New Vegas.
Yeah. Well, I think they got to look. They got to make money to survive, but it's more greed-based now. Like,
it is getting to be.
I've watched my boys. They really like, they used to really like the Madden games. They play them. They're frustrated over and over and over. Because the game itself, while it looks prettier, is not as playable as it was to me years ago. I quit playing it because it got to where, you know, it wasn't working correctly. This didn't seem to make sense and so on. But certain bigger companies, they don't seem to care, you know, about, they throw this game out, and so people feel they buy it, and they're like, okay, so we sold it. Well, now you better get some decent servers, you know?
Yeah.
Do something. So it's, I don't know, I guess I would try to run it to where, if it was me, I would try to release it and make sure I got everything I could. And again, you're catching it all. You're not going to, and the gamers don't expect you to release a perfect game. They expect there's going to be some things you got to fix, but it shouldn't be junk on day one.
Yeah. You go back to Fallout 76. The first update was bigger than the game itself. Tell me that's not a red flag. I mean, seriously. Yes.
That's a huge indication.
A huge red flag.
Yeah. So. I don't know. It seemed like, They have to get their stuff together, so to speak, in some of these places. And one thing I don't like about video games these days, and I've been a gamer since Atari come out, so is I don't think you should be forced into having to be online.
Yeah.
Not only do I not need to be online to play games, every game you shouldn't have to be. You should be able to turn your console on and play the story mode. You shouldn't have to turn it on and sign into a network that is forcing you to pay money. Because it's, honestly, it's like extortion. In order to play the game, you better buy our online service.
Yeah, and then subscribe
And act like it's no big deal. Well, it is a big deal. It shouldn't be that way, and the games should be playable offline.
Yeah.
And you should be able to split screen with your friend. I mean, come on, to all you game makers out there. If they can do it with the Nintendo 64 James Bond, come on. Four people on the same screen. But maybe they think, now today, what, they lose the technology for that too?
No.
So now they can't do that today? Come on. They got to be able to do that. But there's no money in that. They want four different people to have four different online accounts at $60 a year, see?
Yeah.
They don't want you to do that. So, agreed.
I think we've covered our video game rant for the month.
It's been a little bit of a rant.
Yeah,
we love video games too, you guys. Yeah. It's just we're a little disappointed with the greed in the industry and the lack of caring towards the gamer. So,
yes.
That's all.
So, shifting gears. Oh, no, go ahead.
No.
Sorry.
We were talking about racing games, so if you want to shift gears, Clint,
yes,
then you can. I know that was stupid.
No, you're good. See, we make our transitions well known.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to jump into War Machine again because I've been out of War Machine for several years, and I'm slowly finding stuff and, you know, getting rule books and everything. So I kind of thought, if we're going to do our commute and we're going to talk about War Game or War Machine, I'd point out some of the stuff I've done recently to get back into it and how we can give suggestions to people who are getting into it. Because they have really changed a lot of their format. I mean, the last books they put out were 3 years ago. So current rulebook is three and a half years old. The faction guides are three and a half years old. 2016, so just to, you know, put a date mark on it. And not complete anymore. The card decks were released in 2016, not released anymore. So what they did, and this is where I found it, and this is brilliant, is if you go to their website, they have a thing called a card database. And you go into the card database, and you pick your faction. It then gives you a list of every single figure for the game that is current up to today.
And that faction, right?
For that faction.
So are these printable cards?
Oh, yes. So if you click on the factions you want, you click on the Warcaster or the Warjack, whatever, you can pick it. You then click it, and it sends you a PDF copy of all the cards in the order you picked it. And then you just print it out.
Now,
there you go.
If you printed them out and it printed out nicely, you know what I would do? I would go to your local office store.
Yep.
Like the big brand names you guys know. I guess I could say them. Screw it. Staples, OfficeMax, those kind of stores. Or any of them in your area that offer laminating services. Because I have, like, this one tank game that we bought from Zvezda Games. It had some really nice sheets, and they're very nicely done sheets for that you need to reference every time. So I went down, I think I paid it. Now, when I mean sheets now, these are bigger than a full-size paper. They're like, I don't know, they're huge. Kind of like a, I want to say a mini poster. They're big. So I think it cost us like $3 each to have them laminated. But now they're going to last forever. You can take it out and play every game. You're never going to tear it. It's not going to be destroyed. So that's what I'm getting at. I think you can laminate these cards.
Yep.
Then you've got those cards for you when you need to take them out and use them.
And the laminated cards you can use to dry erase to mark off your damage boxes.
There you go.
Now, side note on that one, I found an app on the phone that is a war tracker for War Machine. I know it's kind of a lot of war here. So what it does is you've got your card. Now, the app does not include the card, so it doesn't give you all the stats. It gives you the core stuff, but it does give you the damage trackers for the cards. So if you print out your cards, you have your list of all your effects, and you can just laminate the whole sheet if you so chose. Then you can use the app to track the damage for... it's raining harder, so I'm talking a little louder. So if my voice went up, it's because it's heavy rain right now. And wind, we're on a different highway, and it's a little more aggressive.
Well, this is a more open area, too.
Big
there's
open
no
area.
Buildings or nothing really
so
blocking it.
But now the app will track your damage for you, but it just doesn't give you the stats for the cards. The cards you need to tell you the spellcasting abilities of your warcasters, your special abilities and your special attacks of the Jack tab or the troop units or whichever. The nice thing, too, with the cards with the troop units is, if X points gives you a commander and four troops, that card actually has damage boxes for the commander and the four troops on it. So it's all there on that card. So zero or very little outlay to get your war machine forced together, and the price point for all the miniatures are still very reasonable. You want to proxy something? Great, proxy it. Here's the card to play. If you want the miniature later and you want to spend $23 on it or $30 on it, fine. You know, their starter boxes are only like $110, and you get a full-on army in for $110. The two-player starter box is about $100 and gives you two small armies. You can buy faction army boxes that are a little more, but you get a full-on army. And, you know, that when we looked at these starter boxes, and I started pricing out just her Signar stuff, you know, we paid $45 for that starter box. There's almost $80 worth of Signar miniatures and cards in that box.
So if she was to buy it separately, yeah, it would have cost her twice as much.
Yeah,
just as it did to buy a box of two armies,
yep,
just to get one. So.
Well, and we did find that the Signar army is the same. So the Jax and the Warcaster, there's three Jax and two, and the Warcaster is the exact same Jax and Warcaster you get if you were to buy the faction starter box for like $40. So, but then the starter box also comes with a troop unit, which is another almost $40. And it's all the current plastic, so they're all right, you know, current with everything. And you get all the cards. But in that $100 box that she paid $45 for, you get another army.
Yeah,
another starter box for the Kryks, plus troop units.
So you're looking at, she got about $170 worth of stuff
for
about $45.
But even paying $99 is, you know, and we're not counting the rule book, the basic training rules, the, you know, the fluff.
Yeah, so that's what I'm getting at.
The tokens, the dice, you know.
The starter boxes are generally a good idea because, yeah, say it's $100, $110 of tax, you're still probably $70 to $80 if you were to buy everything individually or more. So you're better off just buying that.
Yep.
That's what I said before. They're getting to where they're competitive with video games because most of your video games, $99, $50 for your DLC for downloadable content for the year. Usually there's four. You know, every 3 months they release some. So now you're in the same price point. The difference is, you know, living a part of the country or just wherever there are storms, you hear all the time. People go without power for a couple days.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can't use your console or you can't get online and game, these games you can. Sit there and game with the family, game with your friends. You're still not missing out on gaming, even if you got no power.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about them. And I think Clint here is a little excited about that. And that's a good thing. I have to just try to catch up on the ones I got, Clint.
Yeah.
Before I go too much further.
Yeah, the nice thing if you when you decide to pull the trigger on War Machine, you've already got a rule book. You've already got an older rule book that gives you an overview of most of the factions. You know, a $40 starter box, and you're pretty much good to go. We can throw down and start playing right there. You know, if let's say you decide to do Mercs, for example. The Mercs box is going to give you a Warcaster, two Warjacks, and a bunch of cute little troop units. I love the Mercs troop units, these little walker things with guns on their head. They're really cute.
Wow.
If you go with the Dwarven. Yeah, but they're effective. But they're cute.
Cute and effective.
It's little two squatty, two-legged things with giant cannons on their backs. Yeah.
Okay.
It's totally up your alley. But the Dwarf with the double-barrel shotgun and the sword is kind of cool, too. But anyway.
Well, yeah.
Just saying. And your wife, I found a faction that she's going to want to play. So for Hordes, which is the beastie side of War Machine, they have a new faction that, well, it's not new, it's probably a couple years old now, but it's called the Grimkin. It's basically all these Halloween figures. Their Warcaster is this pretty sexy bar wench in a very busty outfit. And her minions are stuffed animals.
Okay.
Then there's like a giant scarecrow with these soul cages that collect souls. There's this really hot chick in a short skirt with this some sort of possessed tree, I know. There's just some really cool stuff for this Grimkin, and the rules are completely compatible. You can play Hordes with War Machine. It just, you don't have the Jax, you don't have the Mechanic element, you got the Beast element. But
so
it's a whole Halloween faction.
It is their version of Kill Team. All the heavy mech stuff, it's ground skirmish.
Yeah,
I mean, to a degree. I mean,
to a degree.
They took the heavy hitting stuff out of it, right? Because
with War Machine versus like Warhammer or Kill Team. Kill Team is, you know, your small squads, your small points squad. Where War Machine is, you pick your Warcaster, you pick your points, and you play whatever you can fit into those points. Generally, when you pick a Warcaster, you automatically get a Warjack plus extra points to be part of that. Warjacks are the Big Macs.
The Macs.
Or if you're playing Hordes, you have a Warlock, which is your basically your Warcaster, your Spellcaster, whatever, plus Beasts, which are the creatures. So it's really technology versus, you know, monsters and whatnot. Like, the Grimkins faction is a horror faction. It's really kind of this weird, but cool, Halloween-y. That's the best way to script. You literally have a squad of troops with pumpkin heads.
That would be weird.
It is awesome.
Kind of like that, what's that show, Halloween Town, or they made a movie or...
Yeah. It is a very... Nightmare Before Christmas feel. It's a very Tim Burton feel to the stuff. It really is. So that's something I think your wife would be interested in because, one, you can just paint everything in fun colors. And there's just a lot of neat stuff for it. I don't generally play Hordes because I'd never seen a faction I really liked in Hordes.
Sounds like you're interested in this one, though. You sound pretty excited.
It's interesting. However, I'm very dedicated to Kador, for one thing. Although the one of the new factions I'm kind of interested in, you might be interested in it, Keegan might be interested in it, and you know the name is escaping me, but it's basically House Guard, Royal Guard type, and there's some of their stuff is really kind of cool. It's almost, some of their stuff has a 50s nautical feel to it, or a Bioshock feel, but you've got the weird helmets and the... it's really cool. But they've got some really cool jacks. Their troop units are kind of in weird and kind of wonderful outfits. So that's something to consider. I personally think you would like Mercs. I do. Seems like kind of up your alley. The Merc stuff is cool, especially the Dwarven stuff. The Ordic, they call them Ord is a small country in within the Iron Kingdom. A lot of it is Rulik are the dwarves, and a lot of the times the Rulik, the dwarves will stay in Ord in this area because it's kind of free trade, a lot of pirates, so you got a nautical theme there. Give you a great example, and one of the reasons why War Machine is, to say the least, sick and twisted, and it's supposed to be sick and twisted, and that is the beauty of the game. Your Warjacks, for example, have the ability to headbutt, rip arms off, kick things, trample things, plow into things. Not just shoot or punch. There's no just this.
Yes, you know, you have multiple.
My
options.
My Kodiak, if it successfully makes two arm attacks, it grapples the person and immediately, for free, I don't have to spend any focus or any other points or anything, will headbutt the person or the jack. Okay. It'll just automatically headbutt. It just does it. It's just part of
it. It does auto damage, yeah.
It does, and the way damage and everything is done. Well, so going back to the dwarves, for example, there is one called Driller, and it is more of an industrial warjack that has a big C-shaped clamp on its left hand and a large drill on its right hand. So it's a mining jack, basically, that this warcaster has
commandeered.
Yeah, sure, we'll go with that. So its special ability is, if it can clamp onto you with its clamp, it can immediately take that drill and just bore through your warjack.
Well,
and
that would be
sick amounts of damage.
That would do some damage.
And so some of the mercenary stuff is just got this twisted little quirky thing. Everybody's got it. So Signar stuff is lightning. Most of their stuff is a lightning attack. The beautiful thing about a lightning attack with Signar is it hits its target. It wounds its target. Any target within 5 inches of it immediately takes lightning damage, unless it's immune to it. So the lightning arcs over to the next target, doing half damage. If that half damage takes out that unit, there's another unit in 5 inches, it jumps again. So you've got these little chain effects. You've got, obviously, any magical spells. Now, looking at some of Dee's stuff, I found out one of her, because Dee is playing Signar, one of her warcasters is actually a mercenary priest who is not part of the Menoth or any of that. And her warjack that you can use with her, which she gets for free, otherwise it's an expensive warjack, but she gets it for free. So one of its abilities is if it is within 2 inches of its warcaster, or one marked as a Morrowan priest is the religion, you cannot target that jack with any magical spells. Any.
So it's immune to
It's immune to magic as long as it's within 2 inches of her. Yeah.
And since it's a game based heavily in magic,
yep,
to get things moving, right, that's a huge plus.
So it's got a defense, or it's got an armor rating of 19. If you were to cast a spell that reduces its armor by 2 or 3.
It wouldn't matter, right?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect that jack. So it's got an armor rating of 19. So that's a, tactics-wise, War Machine is a beautiful layout because it's easy to use. All your spells either cost 1, 2, or 3 focus. You may have to pay to upkeep a spell if you put, like, an armor spell giving, say, a +2 armor to one of your jacks. But it just depends. But you're not spending a lot.
You should do a little, we should do a little, like, a walkthrough on that.
Once we've got a second army that we can use for a walkthrough, because I just have the Kador stuff. I don't have anything else.
Well, but Dee's getting ready to get her stuff together, right?
So we should do just a battle box.
Well, what I could do is, what would be cool is, you guys have the armies, so maybe I can just run the camera, and you guys can go through it. That way I can learn. We could do a video of it, and you guys can game, and we'll accomplish several things at the same time.
That's a great idea.
And then put it up for people, and that's something that, because with YouTube, we don't have 1,000 subscribers yet, but I can do live streams through YouTube from the phone, and it doesn't matter on your subscribers, apparently. So maybe we could do a live show, and you could just walk people through it because there's no time limit on it.
Yeah.
And somebody would need to do the recording anyways.
Nope, that makes
sense. That way we could get all the angles, and so let's just go for that.
Yeah, once we get... Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Because Dee was talking about getting her stuff painted, too, so...
Yeah, she bought paints yesterday.
Oh, did she?
She went...
Good move, Dee. If you've listened this far, congratulations on the paint.
Oh, this is probably going on quite a bit.
Huh?
This podcast is probably going on quite a bit.
Yeah, four hours.
Yeah. Wow, then we've only used a couple gallons of gas doing that. Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like my 80 miles per gallon. Yeah, no.
Yeah, don't say that too loud. They'll take the car. You wouldn't be allowed to own it. Sure, why not? Because, like I said, I wouldn't mind watching to see how the game mechanics work and what's what.
I think you'll like the game mechanics because it is very simple. And it is not a everybody moves, then everybody shoots. Not that I'm opposed to a system like that, because that works beautifully for War Machine, or Warhammer, and Kill Team, and I get why it does. Especially when you're moving that many figures. Generally in War Machine, you're not moving probably 10
figures.
This
sounds more squad or two squads type of a smaller skirmish, because some of these games, like, I don't know... Oh, man, I just lost my train of thought. But, you know, like, the historical, like, the Civil War miniatures?
Yeah.
The Napoleonic stuff.
Heavily troop-based.
And you've got lots of troops. You've got a lot of movement, and their turn-based systems work that way. So, I guess each game's a little different.
Yeah.
And so, I would prefer to just do overviews of them and do videos so people can see. Like, I put a video up last night of the game that me and you did. About 2 months ago, mainly because my editing software, I had to get different editing software to splice them together because we had to do it in two parts. So it was our second game, and but then people could listen as we go through it. Only drawback, sure, you don't see our faces. I've got to change that because people have asked. But that again is just a money issue now at this point. So.
I hope that one camera that mom gives us will help with some of that, too, because we'll have a zoom ability.
Well, a good camera, like I said, a decent one, is going to be right about $600, $700. We really can't get around it to get one that's going to work for... Because people have asked me, Clint, and I'm trying to explain to them, yes, you can do a video blog with your phone on something. But this is gaming, thus it's more like a, it's more of a show. So you need multiple cameras, and a camera that works as a webcam doesn't necessarily work for what you need it to do with pieces on the table. So you guys will have to forgive us. We're doing the best we can with what we have. And we are upgrading as we go. I'm actually, Podbean here upgraded that just the other day. Now I've got to pay monthly, but we will have more. We'll have unlimited bandwidth for right now, so more storage. So we could do more podcasts. Before, we were limited because it was on a freer version. But now that I'm paying them forever, monthly, then it did open up some more options. Yeah. So, we'll just do what we can with what we got. I would like to see some suggestions on specifics. Like, if you don't hear me and Clint talk about it, that's okay. For instance, I'll use just what we talked about earlier. Crash Bandicoot is a video game. So you go, oh, I hear you talked about miniatures more than you did video games. Can you do a show on this? Then let us know, and we will. You know what I mean? We're not limited to just one thing. We're just kind of, we're doing more miniatures, honestly, than we are video gaming at this point. But we're still doing both. We both have our online accounts. We both get online and game. But it's, you know, so give us suggestions is what I'm saying, if you want to hear something specific. And if we don't know, we'll look it up. And by the way, I'll save this for another time, but I will touch a little on it. Yesterday, Clint, out of the blue, just, you know how Google and Facebook and all this kind of send stuff your way, what they think you want to see, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, pops this thing of Gettysburg Magazine. I'm like, what? What is this? Like, I haven't searched up historical wargaming in a long time, but this is interesting. It's $35, but the magazine comes with a map that you take out of it and tiles, I guess, and you play this whole battle for Gettysburg right on your coffee table. And each magazine comes with a different map and a different scenario, which I thought...
That's kind of cool.
...was absolutely cool. I've never seen it. I'll send you the link. But before I talk about it too much, I have to understand I don't... I accidentally run across it, and I thought... Now that is neat. So for every magazine that you picked up, it's done in like old 1800s kind of cover work, like an old magazine was.
Yeah.
And so then they have one for aircraft too.
Nice.
For World War II aircraft. And so then you have a map with your aircraft. Anyways, they're built-in games. You take it out and it's, I don't know, I thought the concept was...
It's an interesting concept.
Pretty interesting, and I don't... So I have to look into it more, and price-wise, it's under $40. I'm like, that's killer. So we'll touch more on that.
Yeah, definitely.
Down the road here, and sorry, I don't know more. I didn't mean to just...
Nah, no worries.
Tease you guys a little, but I have to look into it, so... I don't know, Clint. My voice is killing me.
Yeah, no.
Sorry about that, everybody. I sound like a frog, I think, but not much I can do. And
we're backing up, even though we're not backing up.
No, that's someone else.
That's the construction equipment back there backing up.
I say, wait a minute, you're going forward.
Yeah, I know.
Backwards.
No, I just, because it's hard to be, I don't know if the mic's even picked it up. It might have been too quiet.
It may have, I don't know. This mic picks up quite a bit.
They do.
I noticed, so.
There's a little road that's not a road.
Oh, are you going over to Hobby Town here?
No, I'm not going over to Hobby Town. I'm going over to First Turn to show you War Machine stuff.
We're going to get out so that we can go into a gaming store over in our area.
I just figured while we were here and you had the time, I would show you what some of the War Machine stuff looked like.
Sure. I will definitely take a look. Let's see. So, until the next time, which should be here in another day or two, we'll get another podcast up. Anything to say there, Clint?
No, I think that's all I have
for today.
I think
we burned our ears up already.
We did quite a bit today.
We didn't try to make it almost an hour, but we did. So thanks for hanging in there. Please sign up at the Facebook group if you'd like. And we do need more subscribers to our YouTube channel, because the more we get, the more options we have. So you guys, take it easy the rest of the day, and we'll catch up with you later.